people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining. People, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
And I want to talk about what I'm calling defining times. And the reason I'm calling it defining times is that, you know, when I remember, and of course you do too, when 9/11 happened, you probably remember as I do as well, when, there we go, let's see if we can turn that off. You probably also remember where you were, if you're old enough, where when Kennedy was assassinated. I remember when the stock market crashed in the late 80s. I was actually visiting a client when I was selling radio advertising, and it had just come over the news. And unfortunately, I mentioned it to the client, who all of a sudden didn't want to invest in advertising. The world was about to come to an end. And there are things that happen in human history that we call defining moments. Now, we have those on a macrocosmic scale, big worldwide events like the global pandemic that we're still going through. And I like to remind us that, yes, indeed, we are still going through it, especially down here in Florida. But we are definitely going through the pandemic. And when we experience something, we define it based on the timing of the event or the event itself. Here's what I mean. How many times have people said pre-9/11? Or post-9/11. Now, if you were to take that term back to somebody before 2001 and say pre-9/11, they would think, you mean before Porsche made their 9/11s? What are you talking about? Before we had 911 that you could call? It was not something that was a defining time. We have defining times in our lives. We have defining times when we get married. We have defining times when we join a fraternity or a sorority. We have these rituals. Human beings love this idea of, I was here and now I'm here. I was here and now I'm here. One of the things that I used to enjoy in my own mind when I did weddings, and I've done lots of weddings, enough to know that I don't really enjoy doing them. And for a number of reasons, I tend to get too emotional. There's so much going on, and there it just, anyway, don't really enjoy doing weddings. And the thing about doing a wedding, though, is that as the minister, I get to say, I now pronounce you man and wife, or you are now married, or something like that. And sometimes in my own mind, I would milk it, or sometimes I would hesitate a second. I'd go, you know, by the statements, whatever it was I used to say. So we as human beings really appreciate this idea of going from one thing to another thing. I mean, imagine going to school for 4 years and getting your degree. And if at the end of the degree, they simply, and I know a lot of people opt for this, but simply it's mailed to you. No, 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 no. We need a ritual. We need a defining moment. Before now, you were an aspiring accountant. Now you can go take your boards. And even the boards and things like that are a way of passing rituals. We always want to have these defining moments. And we're not really, we're talking about the pandemic all the time, the news is, and has been. And we will continue to, but I realized the other day that our vernacular is going to change. And even in my speeches, like I did a live 90-minute speech yesterday, which was the first live 90-minute speech I've done from my studio, which I was a little uncertain, wanted to make sure it was going good, especially since the window construction guy showed up at the unit next door to mine right before I did it. And I use the term pre-COVID. Now, we're not ready to use the term post-COVID, but at some point, we're going to talk about post-COVID. So there was pre-9/11, post-9/11. Now the major defining time, defining statement for us will be pre-COVID and post-COVID, depending on the context in which we use it. All of this to say, as I was journaling yesterday, I was thinking about the COVID thing as the COVID pandemic, as if it were a novel, as if it were fiction. The other day, I was listening to a podcast about the Titanic. And for those of you who don't know it, you should look it up. There was a novel about a ship called the Titan. That was the biggest ship on Earth. That the novel was released two years before, the Titanic set sail. And it basically described a lot of what happened with the Titanic, including the striking of an iceberg. And this was a fictional book written before the Titanic was even built. Look it up. And I thought about the COVID-19 pandemic as if it were a fictional novel, and I imagined myself, this is how my brain works. I just imagined myself reading this novel and being up to the point where we are now, right? So the pandemic starts, it starts in a foreign country. And I know there was a movie, Outbreak, I think, that very similarly expresses the pandemic. But I was thinking about this idea as a novel, and that we are up to this point. So it starts off in a distant country, and then it spreads to a remote area of Washington State, and then it begins to spread, and people travel, and people say that it doesn't exist, and some people are adamant that it's a long haul, and other people don't want to look at it, et cetera, et cetera. And should you wear a mask? No, at first, says the CDC, not really going to help. Then absolutely, you got to wear a mask. And the politics and the deaths and the nonsense, all of this would make an incredible novel. And here we are. I've been doing these jump starts live for 13 and a half months now because of the pandemic. And if I were to close this novel right now, if I were reading a fiction novel rather than living one of the things I would ask myself is, what is it that people miss the most? And I don't think I would have gotten it. I think I know the answer, and you tell me if it's true. But I think I know what people miss the most, and it's not going to be what you think necessarily. Maybe it is. If I were to close this book, I would think people need businesses to get up and going and the economy to be going, et cetera, et cetera. People need to be able to travel. They need to be able to sit closer, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think that a fictionalized version of this novel would necessarily get what I think is the thing people are missing. And I have heard people say it very recently. And finally, it was expressed so well by a woman at the pool. I was sitting at the pool the other day, and I overheard a woman say, "I just want to hug my grandchildren." Hugs. I have heard the word hugs a lot lately. I don't know about you, but it's like as we're coming out of it, the thing that we realize that we miss more than anything is physical closeness. I know that for me, that since my girlfriend and I broke up a few months ago, I miss being hugged, you know? I got this guy who loves to hug and loves to cuddle. And yet there's something about human beings that want to have that closeness. Many of you may know that I'm an ordained unity minister, and that the complaint-free movement began in a unity church. And actually, the idea to go 21 days in a row without complaining was not my idea. I explained that in the book. That was Edwin Gaines, also a unity minister. The interesting thing I have found about Unity churches is that everybody hugs everybody all the time. It was hard to become a minister at a Unity church because I had a staff of three, me and two others that I saw on a daily basis. And I always felt this need to hug these people because if I saw them on Sunday, they would hug me. And I could tell the same, okay, well, I saw you this morning. Do I hug you tonight at the meeting while I'm hugging everybody else? And I think along with Unity's message of positivity, and a lot of people say, what's the number one thing takeaway you get from going to a Unity church? By the way, Unity is a non-proselytizing religion, so I'm not trying to encourage you to attend a Unity church. When people do, what they discover is that the idea is God's not mad at you, basically. God loves you and adores you and thinks you're awesome. That's kind of the main takeaway. And God would hug you right now. And so Unity churches are filled with hugs, 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 hugs. And I think, I know for myself, if I could have one thing right now, I wish my daughter would be here and I would give her a great big hug. And so I wanted to come full circle here, and I wanted to talk to you about hugs. And one of the things I've discovered with this little, adorable little beast back here that, by the way, he's with me like this all the time. I don't put him there. If I get up right now, he will not only follow behind me, he will keep his nose on my right calf to let me know he is with me so I don't stop or turn around. The thing about Teddy is Teddy loves to be hugged. And when I pick him up, he cuddles his head under my chin. And if I continue to hold him, he will literally put a paw on each shoulder and pull me to him. And at some point, if I hold him long enough, I can feel his heartbeat. And I think he can feel mine. And I wrote about this in one of my books. It's like we syncopate. It's like our hearts begin to beat in time. And it's at that moment that we truly, truly connect with people. And that's why people are drawn to hugging. And that's why I think that is the number one thing that the pandemic has taken away from us. And I think in the future, I think we'll realize that even more. And I think that the psychological long-term effects of this are going to be, because we are psychosomatic beings, psyche, soma, mind, body, I think that the long-term effects are going to be greatly impacted. Our bodies were not touched enough, hugged enough. And so if you're not alone, if you happen to be with your children, if you happen to be with another human being or an adult, see what I mean? Then today I want to invite you to understand and to realize how lucky you are, because there's a lot of us out here who are still quarantined by ourselves, can't hug, can't be hugged. So be sure and give yourself a hug if you're one of the people like me. Find a dog, a cat, somewhere when you're walking to hug. I share Teddy with people all the time when we're walking. He just heard something and barked. But if you are fortunate enough to be with someone else, give them a hug today and say, listen, I really want to give you a hug today. And see if you can hold on until you feel their heartbeat with yours. You'll see an amazing connection. It's not going to be long. I figure a few more months and we'll start hearing the term post-COVID. If we can get enough people to take the vaccine. And when we do, I think the number one thing people are going to want is hugs. I know there's a Unity church in Miami, and I plan to attend. And I think as much as anything, I plan to go for the message, but also to hug people. So wherever you are right now, I'm sending you out a great big hug. And I want you to take in that possibly at least from my perspective, the number one thing out of all the things, if we were to project what would happen during a pandemic, right? When everybody is shut down, we miss hugging other people. So don't take it for granted. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I was about to say one damn thing, so I might as well say it that way. My dad used to say it that way. I'll tell you one damn thing. Having gone to Africa and spent a couple of weeks there helping to build a hospital and seeing how precious water is, especially safe drinking water, watching water left turned on, fresh water, just still to this day, 10, 15 years later, just drives me crazy. I hope we appreciate hugs in the future so much that we never develop hedonic adaptation to where I could hug you or not. Let's get physically close and hug the people that are important to us. And because I said the people who are important to us, now is your opportunity to click share, and I won't get to know that you shared until you type the word share into the comment section. So please do that. And soon I hope to have everything set up. Oh, I saw one down here from David. I don't want to comment on that. It's a good one. You'll see in just a second. Let's see. Ed says, I am grateful for dreams, sleeping dreams, and aspirational dreams. Isn't it wonderful? Sometimes when you wake up from a great dream and you're in a good mood because something good's already happened while you were sleeping. Grateful for post-it notes. They try to keep me organized. Heather, I hope they try harder. Grateful for great friends, says our birthday girl, Willow. Drink water. That's awesome. Yes, it seems like a never-ending movie, says Tina. It really does. However, it doesn't seem never-ending to me. We need to focus on the fact that it does. I've been listening to a podcast for many months, haven't listened in a while, actually, though, called Coronavirus, Fact versus Fiction. And boy, has it helped me stay contextualized and see when things were truly like this, and now they're getting better. I remember when the Challenger exploded. Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. These are defining moments. Dominic and Juanita's day, terrific Thursday jumpstarters, 47 degrees in New Berlin. Grateful for a good cup of coffee and hanging out with all y'all. Yeah, I was texting with my literary agent this morning and said, hey man, I'm trying to do my taxes and I lost the form you sent me. He said, let me finish my coffee first. And I said, oh, sure, of course. Michelle Bland, good morning from South Carolina. Grateful for a beautiful sunrise in Georgia. What are you bi-stating right now? Grateful to be on the team going home after a long day at work. Christelle, that is awesome. On the tram, I get it, on the tram. Christelle, it's always great to see that you're here with us. Linda says, grandkids from 4 to 11 years are well-versed in coronavirus and mask wearing. They will always remember. I know. Think about that. Children who are going through the defining moments in their lives. David says, hi from New York City. Good morning, cousin, says Lynn. I always worry about when Lynn says, good morning, cousin, and then says, family is toxic. I think maybe we need to talk. She might be mad at me. Missing hugs is major, says Ananda, who has lost a couple of kilos. Dave says, yeah, this is what I want to say. Human contact, handshake, hugs, kisses, etc. The other day I was introduced to somebody here and they went and they shook my hand. And it happened so quick, I didn't have a chance to bump elbows or do anything like that. And then my next thought was, first of all, it felt good to shake someone's hand. It really did. It did. And the other thing was, I'm vaccinated. I'm good. Most Kentuckians miss the hugs. Ah, I get it. Actually, I get to spend time with my girls. It was a wonderful time, says Michelle. Yes, hugs reduce stress. That is true, Mary. We're actually running a little long already, but I'm going to teach you a way to hug that is going to dramatically change it. My pugs follow me all day. If I stop petting them, they will grab my hand with their paw and pull it back to them. Yes, Teddy is equally needy, but I am totally cool with that. Hugs to y'all. I say that I'm totally cool with that. No, there are times when I'm like trying to do the laundry and going from room to room to room to room, and I'm constantly dealing with it. He's like a remora. You know what a remora is? It's that fish that attaches itself to a shark. That's exactly what he is, because he literally keeps his nose on my thigh. Oh, going back up here, David Stills, send lots of hugs to my friends. when I can't see them personally to give them one or more hugs. That's awesome, Dave. Cool. A, another 12-step members thrive on hugs. That's good to know, Ed. I didn't know that. Great message today. Thank you, and give yourself a hug. I will give myself a hug and tell me, thank you, Mary. Hugs to all of you. Shared, 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 shared. Give me just a minute. I'm going to share with you this one last thing on hugging. COVID-19 increases your awareness of the basic things in life. You learn to love the simple things. David, you put it exactly as I was trying to, but much more succinctly. Christy says, shared, grateful to be vaccinated, and to not be scared to hug. Virtual hugs to you. Thank you, Christy. I'll take it. Grateful for the beautiful morning from Johnson City, Tennessee. You guys are awesome. Consider this shared, says David. You are the man. David says, the Beatles says, I want to hold your hand, hand, hand. Yeah. And Larry Norman wrote a song that said, the Beatles said, all we need is love. And then they broke up. All right, real quick. The great Buddhist monk, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk, was raised without hugs. When he reached adulthood, he began to be hugged all the time because he was speaking, he was around people, and it literally drove him into panic. So he developed a 3-step system for hugging. And if you go back through my Jumpstarts, I've done another one on it. And my Complaint-Free Relationships talks about this. But just real quick, the idea is you go and you hug someone first as if you have been gone for, I don't know if I can do this without tearing up. You do it as if you have been gone for a very long time, possibly the thought being that you may never return, and yet here you are, and you are hugging that person. Then you hug that same person again with the idea of they have been gone for a long time, possibly never thinking you would ever see them again, and then you hug them as if this is your opportunity to see them. And then lastly, you give a really great hug, giving thanks that neither of those previous hugs are true and that you are there together. I absolutely love that. That a man who is afraid of hugs came up with such a beautiful, beautiful way to connect with other people. David says, yes, vaccination was much easier than I thought. The worry was gone the moment the needle went in. Yeah, I felt the same way. Sending out prayers to my buddy, Bill Hammond. Bill Hammond is still sick after a week from getting his shot. What a wonderful hug practice to try. Yes, hug as if you have been gone forever and you finally get to hug that person. Hug them as if they have been gone forever, possibly indefinitely. And you do indeed get to hug them and last them, hug them, that neither of those previous hugs were true, and that you're together. I send you all virtual hugs. And I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. Hey, look who's with us today. That's Denise Bazart, who spoke with us yesterday. Be sure and check out her book, Thriving After Sexual Abuse. Next dose next Sunday. Can't wait, says Ed. I get it. All right. Love you, everybody. Take good care, and I will see you tomorrow. Make sure you hug somebody for me today, would you?
Bye-bye. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.